phone calls are coming up. The toll-free number to join us, 1-800-259-9231. Alan's one of those few guests we can get on to talk about basically any subject. I have read hundreds and hundreds of books written by the globalists. I have read thousands of their own documents, tens of thousands of news articles, their white papers. And so that's why when I get Alan Watt on, I know he knows what he's talking about, because he knows the exact same info I know, but from sometimes a different perspective and his own way of delivering it. And so I've been asking some of the questions here. I want him to get into whatever he thinks is most important and news that's happened lately and things that are developing and where he sees the world, what he thinks of these shootings and at the Pentagon and the kamikaze attack and the calls for censoring the web. But you were getting into antisocial behavior. They now call taking a photo of your child in the U.S. or in England at a park antisocial pedophilia. They're arresting people who take photos of their daughters in bikinis in their own pool. That's now illegal, though there's not a law. They're now demonizing. It's political correctness into every level where they're just coming after the citizenry. So, Alan Watt, continue along those lines.
Yeah, this is the Fabian technique that was also used in the Soviet system, where they believe that through scientific alteration of the mind itself through different techniques, they can create the type of person they want. And as a form of political correctness, now they tried it out extensively in China. China was the prototype model after the Soviet Union for this more advanced form of collectivism, where everyone thinks the same, says the same things, behaves the same way, even sometimes dresses the same way, depends on the era. But they had two men working at the United Nations who dreamed up the idea to test out on China using social approval and social disapproval. And what they did, they studied the cultural history of the Chinese, and they found out that traditionally, with certain objectives in mind, depopulation was one. And traditionally, China had often, very often, as a matter of its culture, had killed off newborn children, especially females, if they didn't need so many, type of thing. And they thought, how can we bring this into the new system where we want to really drastically reduce their population? They actually encouraged that, as you know, and they brought in the one-child-per-family policy. Initially, and the guys at the UN said this in one of their own statements recently, they said initially the militia had to come to drag women to the abortion clinics if they had a second pregnancy. Now they've trained the public that the neighbors themselves will drag the woman in to the clinic because they consider it as antisocial to have a second child. You're robbing the food from someone else's mouth, type of thing. You're not collective enough. And they get really angry, they'll do it.
And that's what the phony environmental movement is all about, is teaching us the pie doesn't grow, rising tides don't raise all ships. Anyone doing well is your enemy. And so you need to get into the collectivist model. And once we have collectivist health care, then we've got to tax what you eat and do, because we're all paying for it. And this is the nasty trick that the collectivist paradigm uses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I say, it's called social approval and disapproval. And in China, the two guys said it was such a success. These guys dreamed up, these two neuroscientists, they dreamed up this idea. They said it was such a success that they were the guys who brought in the United Nations war on smoking. And they trained the children at school to have Pavlovian responses if they saw anyone light up a cigarette 20 feet away. And I've witnessed that myself. They go into a sort of paroxysm, a spasm of coughing and waving their hands at 20 feet away. That's Pavlovian.
Oh, yeah. Alan, I have trouble with smoking. I start it. I stop it. I've got a real problem with tobacco. And I was down at Port Aransas. My wife and kids are inside eating. I don't smoke anywhere near them a few weeks ago. And I fell off the wagon and was smoking cigarettes. And I went out on the back deck and fired up a cigarette. And a woman in the parking lot, no exaggeration, had to be 40 feet away. I just lit the cigarette and she starts waving her hands, coughing and freaking out, and runs over and says, "Your cigarette is hurting me." I mean, this is a control freak. And I said, "Hey, lady, you know, don't worry, your police state's taking over. Don't worry." But I said, "Enjoy the fluoride they put in your water. Enjoy the mercury in your shots. I bet you don't have a problem with that."
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
There's hundreds of different ways that the establishment conditions us to be tattletales, to hate our fellow man. The torture porn in the movies, all the violence, the conditioning, the dividing us into all these different groups along race, religion, sex. But look at Europe. They say, we're going to ban Nazi websites. Oh, sounds reasonable to some. You know, Nazis are bad. Then they've got the precedent set. And now, oh, you can't criticize the EU. You can't criticize GMO food. You can't criticize the town council. Now the White House says you can't criticize groups. And so once they set the precedent there, they expand it. They create the perception that guns are illegal with TV ads and billboards showing a picture of a revolver or a shotgun, legal almost everywhere, but a few cities like D.C. and Chicago. And they say report illegal guns. And then your neighbor's ignorant. I see every few days articles where some old guy comes out with his rifle to go to the shooting range. Neighbors call the cops. They pull him over. They go ahead and arrest him. So it's all this perception with this dumbed down population. And now they're going into the next phase. Alan's talked a lot about this, and we're going to get more into how they're conditioning us. But then I want to get into contestants turn torturers in French TV experiment and how they're duplicating. Give me a document cam shot, please. The Stanford prison experiment. And we're going to go over that experiment in 71. A team of researchers led by psychology professor Philip Zimbardo at Stanford University, 24 undergraduates were selected out of 70 to play the roles of both guards and prisoners in a mock prison in the basement. And they told them that we're going to randomly torture them. They were told it was real. They hired actors. And they found that the vast majority would murder people and believe they were murdering. Well, now there's all these new Hollywood movies coming out about torture. I saw another one. I think I sent you the trailer. I think it's called The Final. In fact, pull up that. It's on YouTube. It's the top video right now. Ad, The Final. And, oh, the kids that aren't cool, they capture 50 of the other cool kids and they torture them and murder them, and it's a great good thing. So this is the massive conditioning. So when our neighbor's being drug away, we don't care if we're being drug away later, and our neighbor won't care when we're drug away because we're all being conditioned to it. Alan Watt.
Yes. In fact, there's a movie, a very good movie came out in Germany called The Experiment, and that was based on that particular experiment, because we're doing it in other countries too. And it works the same way wherever they do it. People really who don't know themselves, and that's the old maxim from thousands of years ago, know thyself. If you don't know yourself, you immediately get submerged into role-playing, and you adapt into the role. And sadomasochism takes over, actually, in prison guard society, between the prisoners and the wardens. And once the actors themselves, the people who take on these roles as prisoners, once they start talking back to the wardens literally react with anger. How dare you? You're subservient. We hate you because you're so compliant. You're on your knees. This is sadomasochistic behavior. And it's also used in the military. That's where they really got it from. When you join the military, the first thing they teach you is you're not a person anymore, an individual. You're part of the team. All that matters is the force.
Well, it's classic cult brainwashing. They shave your head, sleep deprivation. They torture you, and then you're no longer a maggot. Then you're now a human because you're part of our group, and that's your only identity. And now in the public schools, the terror attack drills where they tell the kids it's real. They tell them it's the gun owners that are doing this. It's the conservatives. It's the libertarians. It's the homeschoolers that are going to do this. That's why we had to torture you. That's why we've got to watch you with cameras in the bathroom. It's their fault. And it's like all these different syndromes, the Stockholm syndrome. They start loving their abuser and take all the FEMA drills and police training and government. It's like in your role. And when they run terror attacks, they do it through a script. And so everything becomes role playing. If you don't have your own identity, if you don't have your own moral compass that was taught to you, you know, through your culture, don't trust the government, never snitch, stick together. Those were truly passed on ancient human attributes against tyranny. As they remove that, yuppies, you know, trendies, liberals, they're all in a role and they play a role, and they're and it's like a 3-year-old playing princess or playing cowboys and Indians. And I remember when I was 3 years old, having a giant paradigm shift in my backyard when me and my friends were playing Batman and Robin. And it clicked. I said, I'm playing a role. I'm not really Batman. And I have this paradigm understanding that everybody was playing roles. And then I never basically did it again. Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. And people really do become the role. When they get a job, they become their job. They tend to lose themselves as well. Mr. Postman actually becomes Mr. Postman. And same with Mr. Policeman. They get into this role and they don't think like an ordinary individual would ever think again. They think more like a machine. They're conditioned machines. Same with the military. But remember, too, we're run by experts at the top with unlimited financing, with thousands of think tanks working on every possible repercussion for their agenda at every stage. And they work out what the reactions from the public will be. They have risen a generation on militarized video games, which were intended to desensitize the military from killing or turning on anyone they're told to turn on, including their own people if need be. And they've raised them with this. It's a very addictive. They know what they're doing. And these guys now are the real Johnny with a gun. They're wearing the uniforms, and when they're told to turn on their own people, they will do so.
Well, they found exactly. They found in World War One, soldiers would shoot people 1,000 yards away, but over half of folks, unless they were fighting for their lives, wouldn't shoot somebody 20 feet away. By Vietnam, with pop-up paper targets to habitualize instinctual shooting, they got it to where about 90% would pull the trigger up close. You know, you must heighten your killer instinct or you will be dead, Marine. Doom, the video game, was developed over 15 years ago by the Pentagon. We talked about this, and now they even use the PlayStation controller with the Predator drones, and they're actually hiring teenagers who have the top scores on these pilot programs that they now admit the Pentagon funded Microsoft. And I talked to a high-level former, he's actually a Hollywood producer, who for 5 years worked at the highest levels of Microsoft, and it's all basically a Pentagon program to precondition. And it was like, what, 20 years ago they had the last Starfighter put in a science fiction thing where they put out these video games to find out who can beat the game, then they land and say, you're now going to be part of the intergalactic starfighters. But instead of really working for aliens off-world that put these video games in, the Pentagon now admits they are literally getting the best robot pilots to now be in these trailers in Arizona or Nevada or New Mexico with drones 10,000 miles away, and they've been habitualized on very games designed to pre-program them.
Yeah, they also go through a very specialized testing for the ones who do that. And this was disclosed in a documentary in Britain where the U.S. nuclear subs are based at the Holy Loch. And the commander of the base was asked how they select the two men aboard every sub who put the keys in together. They look at the little computers and so on. Everything's computerized, so the little figures and so on aren't just continents and aren't just people. They're just like cartoons to them. But he said, we select the psychopathic types because they will do what they're told, and they will turn those keys and they will press those buttons when they're told to do so because they can't empathize with other people. So they actually have selective courses and tests to get the right people who to sit behind, as you say, in these trailers while they kill hundreds of people thousands of miles away that they never even see.
And they have drill after drill after drill. Now, people are asking, well, how do they know who is the best drone pilot? Well, now almost all the games are interactive. And so it's all on a database. And now the Microsoft Xbox, the PlayStation with Sony, all these companies admit it's got voice identification, infrared face scan. They're now going to add pain sensors to the games. Remember what 20 plus years ago, that James Bond movie where they're global domination and they're playing the game and they're getting pain, when they get hit. This, again, it's all pre-programming, and they admit it. This is not our opinion.
That's right. People don't realize that the biggest corporations out there were all funded by the government agencies.
Oh, oppression, you prey on us when we sleep. Oppression, you chase after the tired, the poor, the weak.
free shots to the people in Africa. But then he gave a speech, and it's doublespeak to his people. That's why the audience laughed. The sickos laughed. We played the audio and video here just a month ago. And he says, we've got to get everybody's vaccine so we can cut the population by half. Mm-hmm. And everyone laughed and clapped. It was a sick psycho enjoyment. We're saying we're killing them out in the open, and they don't even see it. And it's, we're murdering. We have power. Trampling and being trampled. We're priest of power. We're pressing on the nerve, Watt.
Mm-hmm.
We count. We're mega-deathing. We're killing. We count.
And the thing is, too, they are super confident now because the public have never been so dumbed down, the general public, as they are today with scientific means through media, all media, entertainment. And there's not a thing you can watch in entertainment that isn't full of predictive programming and messages and how you should behave and how you should feel about this and feel about that. You're given it all. And they've never had such a dumbed-down population with inoculations as they have today. 30 injections before a child gets out of hospital after getting born. I mean, and then they're full of fluoride from then on, too. We are really working on at less than half speed, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. And why do you think some individuals are predisposed to be resistant to this? Versus others that fall right into it? A lot of it's upbringing, genetics. But obviously the most aggressive anti-government, anti-tyranny group in the world were North Americans, just because of the selection of who came here, the rebels, the criminals, the trailblazers. And so that's why we were the first to be fluoridated. We're the first to be targeted. And then we're the beta test. If they can do it to us, they can do it to anybody. And they really hate the Muslims because they've got their own, in those countries, kind of old world oppressive system in some ways. But that's, they say, one of their biggest threats because they won't allow in any of the Western control.
And the Muslims, too. You see, the whole world is almost standardized. The whole world is almost standardized. The Muslims have held out. They have an intact culture, and they're autonomous to an extent, too. They've traditionally never joined the world bankers. They've never traditionally, they never used usury, so they can't get put into massive debt. And that's been changing since the late 1800s, but still there are holdouts there. They don't fit in with the globalized, standardized system. And that's what it's all about, is standardization of a world system across the entire globe. So anyone who won't go under will be bombed under and forced under or simply eradicated altogether.
Yeah. Continue.
Well, it's the same thing, too, with the oil and all the rest of it, too. We know it's just land grabs, it's mineral grabs, it's oil grabs. Not for our countries, because we don't have countries anymore, to be honest. We're run by internationalists, and we have been for a long, long time. But they're making sure that they have all these resources for themselves for 100 years, 200 years in the future. And I've read the Department of Defense's own projections for the next 50 years. They know, and they published it before the dollar bottomed out and the crash came. They said there would be financial crashes. They said there would be food shortages. There would be riots as they bring down the Western world. And 2010 to 2012 was around their starting date for the actual riots. Well, we've seen the riots break out in Greece and other countries. There's articles in the paper now. They're expecting riots in the UK shortly.
Let's talk more about that, but let's go back. You made a big deal out of this in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
We realized it was a big deal. We wrote articles about it at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You did it CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Blood and Guardian reported on it. We got the whole 100-page report, the British Ministry of Defense program.
Yep.
And they said, we're going to financially collapse it into 2010. We're going to have flash mobs, riots. And they talk about how we are the enemy. They talk about using nuclear weapons or the neutron bombs.
Yeah.
If the people were to ever try to take back London or Ottawa or D.C., they will neutron bomb the population, and they just admit it. We're standing by with neutron bombs. They're public. We will kill you. And they say there's nothing you can do. We're going to poison you. We're going to sterilize you. And if you ever try to take a capital, we're going to neutron bomb you. I mean, this is, and then, so the cops, the military that serve this, and the bureaucrats, you're drinking deadly poison. You're being poisoned with GMO. Your sperm counts dropped 85%. You're becoming sterile. You're dying of cancer. and you will salute the government and take your five-year-old that died of cancer and bury him and then just salute the government. Thank you for killing my child. Thank you, New World Order. I like my petty psycho power, so I'm going to serve you straight to hell. Thank you. Yes, sir. I'm not strong enough to break my conditioning. I'm not strong enough to read where they say they'll neutron bomb us. I'm not strong enough to admit this is a psycho kill grid we're in. I'm going to submit. I love being a tyrant. So you go ahead and smash me.
Mm-hmm. And also that was followed, remember, from The Guardian and the Department of Defense for the UK and NATO, all NATO countries, followed immediately, a month later, by the United States military one, which was pretty well identical to the British one. So this is the world agenda, and it said the same thing will happen in the United States. So this all falls in again with Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, which is the century for change, planned change, of course. And they're already starting to smash down a lot of the suburbs around the urban areas and Detroit and places like that. That's all part of the planning. Everyone's to get forced into the already overcrowded cities.
And they said that 20 years ago. They said, we'll get everybody dependent through the trilateral banking system, and then we're going to destroy half of the homes in the cities. And Detroit has announced they're going to destroy a third, and they're announcing massive new energy taxes, all designed to bankrupt us. They say you're going to have a brain chip to have a job, that people will have to accept it just to have a job. It's like, oh, it's free market. You don't have to be here, but you'll starve to death. They talk about flash mobs, how they're going to control us, their new world order, their world government. And you can read the 100-plus page report. They have a link to it in this article. And if it's not linked now, ask Watson. He can pull up the actual British Ministry of Defense report, U.S. government report. I mean, folks, I at a primitive level get excited and try to warn you. I mean, I'm a fellow human. I want freedom. I want to be happy. I want a good future. I want to build and work together and go to space. These control freaks don't. So Alan can calmly talk about it. He's a great guy. I mean, it's like we know these are mastermind criminals. We know what they're doing. We're not lying to you. And you need to check out what we're saying. And then no one in the government or the military or the police should serve these people. You're with us, the people, even if you think you're part of the system. Alan, isn't that the biggest trick? Is that people that serve the system feel like they're on the winning team?
It's a fact. It's also a technique and a science in it, all in itself. It's called obedience to authority. The same technique they use in the military, your party, the team, I'm too important to be discarded, that kind of stuff. And it's worked through the Soviet system, well tested, tried, lots of books written on it, obedience to authority. So, but what they don't realize is for instance, look at all the bureaucrats you have to take care of millions or billions of people. Once they've reduced the population, they won't need the bureaucrats, so they're next to go as well. You won't need all the cops out there or the military if you wipe out most of the planet. So what are they going? They won't keep you around as a pet, believe you me. These guys are all about economics and what seems to be appropriate at the time. And if they claim that you are eating up the resources that their future offspring, the elite's future offspring, will have for the next 1,000 years, they're going to get rid of you very quickly. But they don't need you.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I've got a really good memory, but it's not perfect. No one's is. Unless it's the Borg mind of the computer system, and that's full of mistakes. But it's like yesterday, I was up on air talking about Pentagon technology to get the heat resonance biometric print of your body, or even your shoulders and the top of your head. And I got an email saying, Alex, they can't brain scan you from orbit. People got confused by that. I was reading a BBC article from, 5 years ago, about 25 meters away, they can brain scan you, and they're putting these up. It was also CBS News. Then I went into identification, biometric systems of how you walk from the ground, satellites that can identify you once they have your heat resonance print of your shoulders and the top of your head. From orbit. Okay, that is admitted. So people get confused by that. Now, I was going from memory on this DCDC Global Strategic Trends Program 2007-2036. Here's the London Guardian. Revolution, Flash Mobs, Brain Chips, A Grim Vision of the Future. I need to get Paul Watson, Steve Watson, Aaron Dykes, Kurt Nemo, somebody, one of my great writers, researchers, to go through this report 3 years later and show how much of what they talked about that would start happening by 2010 has now begun. Okay? But in here, I had them search in the PDF file, it's 100-something pages, the term neutron weapons. And they did find it, but it talks about how they may be used in war, kind of what Bertrand Russell was saying of we'll use nuclear war to knock out all our enemies and then have an age of peace. So it must be the U.S. version of this, or perhaps even a PNAC, because I know I've read it and did a story about it, where they talk about we'll use neutron bombs against populations if they try to take over the government. So we need to ferret that out. Because, again, these things all mimic each other and are very similar. We're going to go to calls here, but Alan Watt, you were getting into the narcissism, how they train people to not care. I've read Roman historians who wrote about the fact that early on in Rome, they didn't have gladiatorial events, and that they scientifically, as a way to dehumanize, and so people would put up with tyranny, first it was convicted hardcore criminals had to fight. Then it was old slaves. Then it was basically everybody. Then it was your neighbor next week. And as long as the public could cheer for somebody being torn apart this week, that dehumanized everyone and made them enjoy seeing their fellow humans killed. Next week, it would probably be them. And that things got worse and worse as the empire declined. They did this consciously 2,000 plus years ago, right through their fall in 410 to the Visigoth chieftain Alaric. And so this is a much more, I mean, they had scientific control 2,000 years ago. The Greeks had it 2,500 years ago. Continue.
Yes, and what you find, too, is that the big authors who worked for the Fabian Society, which is just an arm, a specialized arm to control left-wing for the socialized world of the brain in, on behalf of the elite. In fact, it was all started up by the elite themselves and funded by them. And the Royal Institute of International Affairs, they're all branches, specialized branches of the same thing. And you'll find that their authors have talked about this particular age we're in today. One of them was Arnold Toynbee, a professor at Oxford. He was the one who taught Rhodes Scholars for world government on behalf of the elite. And he said in his own history books, he's a philosopher and historian, he said that this is what happens at the end of an age when an empire is going down. Now, the elite always move out before the empire crashes, by the way. You never see that the rich people get put under. And you have, they bring homosexuality to the fore, lesbianism, party for the wealthy elites, and then the rest emulate that too. They have fewer and fewer children. They have infanticide. It becomes very common. And so they know the techniques of bringing down society. Everybody's partying, having fun, entertainment, drama, plays staged as never before. And it says that this can be re-implemented at any time in any culture, in any empire. And the same, as long as you bring in the same formula and sequence, you can recreate that and bring the people down to basically a slave level. And now that was also said by Carl Quigley, Professor Carl Quigley, who was a historian for the Council on Foreign Relations, and he taught at the U.S. State Department. He taught the diplomats, and he also taught the guys in the Pentagon. So they use knowledge for weapons. Knowledge is power, and it can be weaponized if you understand the techniques and the formulas to reintroduce the same sequences. You can bring people down as you control them, every stage of the way. And today we have nothing. Today we're living as like Sodom and Gomorrah. Regular television now is basically pornography. They're bringing up live simulated sex shows on British morning TV. This kind of stuff. It's hard. This is the key too. To break all natural bonding rules that creates a strong cultural society. And it starts really with the man and the woman as the first target. You divide them, you conquer them, you then separate the children, the state rear the children with new values, which are all politically correct. Every intake in kindergarten is taught to a scientific formula so that the intake in the previous year are given a little upgrade from the previous year before them for what they will expect to happen culturally in society in their lifetime, so that when it happens, they think it's normal. And Beria, who was a KGB or NKVD head of the Soviet Union in 1934 at the International Communist Meeting, talked about this. He said it used to take 70 years to alter society in a cultural way to our advantage. Now, we said, in 1934, it takes 5 years through indoctrination of the intakes of children. Today, it's down to year by year by year through kindergarten. It's a scientific indoctrination so that they'll get brought up in a world where, yeah, brain chipping will be normal. Hermaphroditic beings, cloned in laboratories, will be normal, all kinds. There'll be no such thing as pedophilia anymore. That's another big goal. Destruction of all normalcy means you are defenseless against the big boys because you have no cultural values to hold on to and stand up for. When you can't stand up for anything, you are totally defeated.
You're now a blank slate that they can program anything they want into. You're an empty hard drive.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go over this, and then we're going to calls. I mentioned this last hour. Contestants turned torturers in French TV game show experiment. And here's the Stanford experiment from 71, where the professors themselves went crazy with the mock prison and torture and even began actually trying to hurt people and kill people. And they were telling people to mock executions that they thought were real, and they were actually carrying it out because of the mad, crazy power trip. And this was almost 40 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. This was 39 years ago. Think of how far they've taken us now. I want to play a Fox News clip of this torture show where we're all being taught it's beautiful and wonder. Roses aren't beautiful, beautiful green fields, beautiful oceans, love, innocence, honor. It's not good. Death, destruction, blood, torture. This is what's beautiful. This is what's good. This is your power. Your power to hate and kill and to give support to killing. An evil culture by design, so we're defenseless. Virtue, sovereignty is the antidote. States' rights, cutting the size of government, not putting your children in government training camps, warning everyone you know, getting upset, getting through the comfort zone, breaking out of your bubbles. Realizing how serious and real this is, and that everything else you're being programmed with is fake. What's real is the government think tanks. What's real is the documents. What's real is what's really happening, not the false spectrum analysis projected on you that is literally a matrix-like system that we're now digitally, television all going now to 3D, which they admit is total mind control, makes you mentally ill, just total programming, drugging the water supply. We're deep into this technological dictatorship right now. Let's go to this clip.
He shows, well, it is that and then some. French producers actually mocked up a game show. Contestants were posed questions. If they got them wrong, they're commanded to throw a switch and zap a fellow on, literally, on the hot seat. Now, it appears that he gets hit with electricity upwards of, 420 volts worth. All the while, the audience of this game show shouting, punish him, punish him. Take a look and listen.
Laissez-moi partir! Laissez-moi partir!
Georgian state-controlled TV broadcast that the Russians had invaded again. They never invaded to begin with. They have simulated cyber attacks, simulated terror attacks. They announce on U.S. TV it's fake only at the beginning. All of this War of the Worlds psychological brainwashing. This is done so people associate torture as fun. That's why they brought out the Abu Ghraib torture, was to get you ready to accept it. Now police all over the world are taught pain compliance, and a federal court and a state court have ruled police can now break arms and taser you to answer questions without a warrant. Alan Watt.
Yes, in fact, it's come out in different court hearings, or it's not even court hearings. I don't think he even goes to court when they taser people and kill them. The police were now using tasers for compliance. Compliance is that's what it's all about now. Compliance. You comply, you do what you're told. There's no such thing as rights anymore. You're taught to simply obey or else.
Alan, I see a blurring of reality and fiction with all these fake drills or Russia attacked Georgia. It was a lie 2 years ago. It's a lie now when they ran the newscast nationwide. The people are very angry in Georgia. They have all these TV shows that where they don't tell you it's real or not. They announce they've captured an Al-Qaeda leader sometimes 14, 15 times, never retract the last time. They're scientifically setting the precedent where they just lie and deceive all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a technique, too, because, see, this is the it's a war of terror, not on terror. It's a war of terror. You always use terroristic techniques on the vast population when you're drastically changing quickly into a new system, and you want that for, again, for obedience and compliance, and that's what we're seeing happening now. But when you see, there's so many television series out now on terrorism, and government agencies dealing with it all. It's all so far-fetched and crazy scenarios, but people are lapping that stuff up. They can't tell fact from fiction anymore. They see the guys in the streets with the combat boots, the cops and all the rest of it. It's all quite normal to them. And what happens is you get into a state of flux. They call it flux at the top, where you can't rationalize reality and separate it from fiction and use your own perceptions to say, am I really under attack right now, or is it mainly in my head? But all the symbols are giving you is that you're under attack, comply, obey. And they can rush forward a whole agenda with rationing, fuel rationing, which will come to as it is off the roads gradually into the new system. And as they're doing it, yes, they will step up the decadence within society, because when in the feudal systems, they knew that when they brought out someone who'd fought against them, a hero like Michael, like William Wallace, for instance, the peasantry would turn up living in their own misery, and they would actually hate someone who tried and failed, and they'd watch them being drawn and quartered and sliced up in a ritualistic killing on behalf of the king. And they'd cheer because they hate the losers. The public hate the losers. They know it within themselves. They're losers themselves. And they transfer it onto the victim who stood up and had the guts to stand up, but actually lost. This is the same technique they're showing you now. They're telling you you're nobody, you're weak, obey and maybe survive. If you don't obey, you definitely will not survive because we'll get you. That's the message now. And they've borrowed all the terms that they used to use in the Soviet Union, like political correctness is a direct translation from them. So is
hate crime.
Anti-government. Any statement, any criticism of any policy at all is called now your anti-government.
And they're trying to...
The opposition party is the most anti-government party around.
Well, we love our country. We fear and don't like our government if we have common sense. Here are some of the headlines. Kucinich kisses the ring as Obama deceptively sells totalitarian care in Ohio. Kucinich sells out on health care after ride in Air Force One. When I saw that photo yesterday, I knew Kucinich had sold out with Obama smiling triumphantly. He's the type of psycho that hates America, hates good people. They enjoy destroying you. They enjoy making you poor. And now this medical tyranny that does have the ration care, does have the death panels, it's all coming in now, Alan.
You also get the compulsory sterilization. That will be on the books because look who's up there, Mr. Holdren, that wrote the book with Paul Ehrlich. Paul Ehrlich's wife is a high member of the Trilateral Commission and Council on Foreign Relations. And they wrote about that years ago, that they would bring in mandatory sterilization for the unfit, and that's coming down. Yeah,
they're saying now, look at this mother that had a genetic problem and she had a kid. We need pre-screening to license you to have kids. And then, we have been taking your blood at birth for the Pentagon for 37 years. Globally, it started 37 years ago. We were in a world government 37 years ago.
Yeah, we were. And again, generations haven't even known it. But the big, apart from the Federal Reserve getting created back in the early World War One. The fact there'd be no World War One if it wasn't for that being created. But the fact is, when FDR gave you the New Deal, that was the announcement of this is the new way, this is a new system, this supersedes the Constitution. The Constitution's out the window, and the bankers and so on. We're running the show. That was as a legal declaration.
Absolutely, and he declared the War Powers Act in 1933 and put the country into a permanent emergency, and that's what we're still under today. We can cut big government. We can support the family. We can trust in our Creator to lead God and direct us, not the big organized religion. There is a big awakening happening, and the globalists are trying to manipulate that and control that, but their global warming taxes are in trouble. The record numbers didn't take the swine flu shot or the seasonal flu. So we had record low flu. That was in Wall Street Journal, because it's the shot that gives you the flu. All the evidence shows the people are trying to get healthier. That's why they're trying to wreck all the agriculture and industry where you are totally dependent on them. So even if you're awake, there's nothing you can do. And we're very close to entering a time when it's going to be even harder to beat these people. But I see a lot of positive things happening. Alan Watt, what do you see on the positive front? Then we're going to calls.
Well, I think people will be standing up more on an individualistic basis. As you know, groups are penetrated so darn quickly and taken over very, very quickly because they've got unlimited financing at the top and unlimited agents, basically, to go and do that. I've got reports here of them doing it in Canada recently as well, and living it undercover with far-left groups, and in Britain, too.
Well, they're out of control in Austin. Yeah. They're just out-of-control operations here in Austin, yes. But it's having no effect, and people are seeing through them.
Yes, and that's the key to it. If you retain your individuality, and you mix with different people, you think you're a group, whenever you see it veer off from its initial intent, then you know you've been taken over. You've got to, and then you leave it. You don't submerge yourself and lose yourself within the group. You must always think as an individual and keep your mind on track. That's the key to everything. And the boys at the top, now here's the thing too, they've taught us to think that everything is fair and that we live in some kind of democracy where everyone gets to say, and those who make the most sense will always win. The big boys at the top do not and never have played by any fair rules. If you want power and you want to maintain power, you don't play by the rules. That's why they don't care if they're caught out with all their lies. They continue regardless, as though they never heard you. And they'll stoop to nothing to get their way. If it's blowing up buildings or a whole city, they will do it if need be. If need be. And we've got to understand that. Never to panic when we see these things come down the pike.
And that's why they're so, I agree with you, that's why they're so angry at 9/11 Truth and demonizing it everywhere, because we've taken their toy of false flag terror, and now people are automatically thinking, is it the government, qui bono, who stands to gain? And it's really angering them.
Mm-hmm. It's angering them, and they put so much money out, and groups, again, anti-groups, you might say, and propaganda from the Pentagon through various agencies that appear as independent news clips. And I've read articles from the Pentagon where they actually do this to brainwash the public and try and poo-poo it. And these silly radicals with their crazy paranoid ideas and repetition of language like that, that's what they hope to win over the general public with. The general public, unfortunately, as I say, you cannot live in reality if you're consuming daily television fiction. Fiction is not fiction to entertain you, it's there to indoctrinate you. And I've lost count. I've tried to keep track of all the shows that come out since.
All the messages, the anti-family, anti-gun, anti-homeschool, yeah. Anti-free market, anti-pro-world government. Yeah. All the messages and cartoons about the Illuminati making it a joke. I'm going to make this point and then go to calls. You mentioned how they create mass insanity where people accept mass murder, war, torture, human sacrifice. Look at the Romans. Look at the Aztecs. Look at the Druids where, oh, the sun won't come back during an eclipse if you don't give us your children to sacrifice. That every culture does this. They make you give over your children to be burned in fires or flayed or have their hearts cut out. Because if they can make you do that willfully, they have full mind control over you. So human culture always ends up getting dominated by the psychopaths, and they turn the world into the type of world they like: death, destruction, torture, and killing. It's 1% of the population. We've got to identify them, educate the virtuous and good and the mighty to rise up and be the leaders they are to defeat this scum. I need all info warriors, anyone in the Northeast, anybody in the Midwest, to go to Pittsburgh now with video cameras. The troops are bought and paid for by offshore banks. Republic is falling right now. They are openly bringing in martial law. They have troops deploying in every major city. We need everybody to go to Pittsburgh who loves this country.
International media, government staffers, and protesters.
The G20 basically represent the largest nations which participate in the Western banking cartel. which I feel is behind a lot of the pain, anguish, and misery that exists in our world today.
This is such a police state there that they tried to talk to the military and talk to a spokesman last night. Defense Link put a press release out, and they said, no, we're not going to talk to you. Get out of here. Then they got their license number, had the police pose as Alamo rental car people from the county there, Allegheny County in Pennsylvania. They called them and said, oh, your car's got no brakes, bring it in. And they said, well, we're in the cordon at G20. We're news reporters. We can't get out till tomorrow. And they said, well, that's fine, because I'm a police officer with the Army and FBI, and you've all been put on terror list, and your life's over, boy. And we know you're a terrorist, and you were sneaking around the military base and ran. All lies.
Okay, so I just went over. They're going to have a guy come out and talk to us, or they said they'll get us a number to contact. He said the PAO. This is probably him right here.
Briefly, tell folks about last night. You guys pull up to the gate. You asked to talk to the public information officer. They called the police and lied and said that you were sneaking around.
Yes, sir. How's it going? We were responding to a news story that the National Guard was going to be masked to go into Pittsburgh. And could we get a comment on that?
We then pulled off to the side of the road where they instructed us to. We waited around 15 or 20 minutes. A representative came back. Immediately, he was hostile towards us. He did not like our credentials.
We're out of Austin, Texas, Channel 10.
Katie, can I see your credentials?
We tried to get as much information as we could. He refused to answer our questions. So then Rob asked him for his information and where we could contact him. Tomorrow, if we could get a word with him, he then gave it, and we left.
Speech, freelance as reporter.
Yes, sir.
You guys have credentials for the G20? I can't. The middle of the night, you come here tomorrow, we'll see what we can accommodate you. We're not going to.
I mean, we only got a few questions, man.
Yeah, we just have like four questions.
The answer's no. I'm not going to comment. No, I'm not. That's okay. We're going to deny the interview. If you get some credentials, you get some that I can work with, I'll do it.
We didn't run away from anything. By the time that we had left, turned around, and exited the main military facility, there was another car parked on the other side of the road, waited for us to pass, followed us for an exit, then got off. And then we were shot when Douglas got a call trying to entrap him and have us go return our rental car for, quote-unquote, two more free days. When we didn't fall for that, he then came clean and said he was actually military personnel and he wanted to know whether or not we were terrorists, Alex.
And then he told Douglas, you're on a list now, pal, for the rest of your life.
Yeah, he did.
With pleasure. You ran from them. Is that true?
Absolutely not.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
In the not too distant future,
they're closing in.
Already the path has been chosen.
They said the market would drop by 4,000 points, blood would flow in the streets, and lions would be devouring children in the parks of Los Angeles.
That same story is just FBI training, but it was FEMA.
Do you believe that the military will fire on its people?
Fire. And they're turning their guns on us.
Already the fact that they told me that they did not set in motion decades ago. Their end game, complete control.
Police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen, and we're building our TV studio. studio next door. We have 7,000 square feet here. We got 7,000 square feet next door. They are probably 70 yards away, but you may hear banging during this hour. We never had that as a sound effect in the background. I don't know if you can hear it right now, but they're driving metal studs into the ground in the studio, and I'm trying to rush them. The city held us up for 6 months with permits, and so I've told them just continue. If it gets too bad, we'll just, I guess, take off a few days or something, because nothing can stop us putting this studio in. So an added level of radio theater. Talk about trying to not be distracted while you're doing something. Can you guys hear that on air? You can't hear it? Well, that's fine then. It's louder than 4th of July for me, but this must be a good microphone setup we have. Okay, well, then I'll try to focus with the banging in the background. All right. Look, here's the problem with covering healthcare. It's like any other issue. It's so bad, I can't even find the proper words to cover how evil it is. And now that we've had a week and a half to go over the full final version, it's amazing even me, and I expect a lot, out of these tyrants. I mean, it takes a lot to surprise me. Tom Daschle, 3 years ago, wrote a book. We've read the passages saying we need to get more like Europeans who just understand after 60, you have a duty to die. And they have this comparative care. They have these bioethicists that sit over the hospitals under federal control, and they decide if you get health care. And as you get older, they begin rationing the care. And that is in the bill. And AP reported, of course, that, oh, it was an oversight, but it's law now. Children and others with pre-existing conditions, you don't get coverage. The insurance companies don't have to give it to you. And then you go on Medicare, Medicaid, and the taxpayer pays for it. But then you get a lower standard of care. That's how they cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, lower the standard of care, but raise taxes. It's nothing but a tax increase for government and a boondoggle payoff to the insurance companies. I'm going to get into that coming up next. But we've got the YouTube video itself posted up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But WorldNet Daily has an article about it as well that's excellent. New York Times columnist, death panels will save a lot of money. That's a quote. Paul Krugman tells Roundtable Economist, agree, it's going to be major. And their argument is, hey, these panels are going to cut what tests you get, what surgeries you get, just like in Europe or just like the VA. The one case we have of government-run healthcare, it's a nightmare. I was talking to a lady this morning from England. And she was telling me just how the health service is absolutely horrible. But you talk to Americans who've been told the lie, those that support socialist healthcare, like, oh, it's great. Everything's free in England. Waiting a month on a gurney. That was in the news last week, and dying a month, not being given any healthcare. 18 months for cancer surgeries that are almost 100% operable. If you get it within a few months, oh, no, you wait over a year and a half, you die. So I wanted to go ahead and play the New York Times economic columnist Paul Krugman says the so-called death panels established by President Obama, $1 trillion nationalized health care plan will end up saving a lot of money for the government. But he's operating under the false left-right paradigm, saying, well, wait a minute, Republicans, you're saying this is going to cost too much money. But if these death panels cut the amount that's spent, which they will, then that cuts spending. No, that's not how this works. The insurance companies get the lower standard of care for everybody. They get to force 30 million plus people to get insurance. And the government gets to raise all these new taxes on people and save money. So more money goes to the banks and insurance companies and interest on the debt. You get less care. You get less service. So he knows people are watching at home, and he tries to manipulate them by saying, well, wait a minute. If this cuts cost, how is this driving up the deficit? But they admit it costs more money. They admit it raises all these taxes. They admit it brings in more money, but does lower cost because you're being robbed. And I'm going to go over the insurance companies that were behind this in a moment. But right now, let's go ahead and play Paul Krugman on ABC News program this week. Here it is.
Amazing, actually, if you think about people on the right, they're simultaneously screaming they're going to send all the old people to death panels, and it's not going to save any money. That's a contradictory point of view.
Death panels would save money.
But
I mean, well,
the advisory panel, which has the ability to make more or less binding judgments on saying this particular expensive treatment actually doesn't do any good medically, and so we're not going to pay for it, that is actually going to save quite a lot of money. We don't know how much yet. The CBO gives it very little credit, but most of the healthcare economists I talk to think that it's going to be a really major cost saving.
There you go. A cost savings, and they admit over $40 billion a year cuts in Medicare and Medicaid. And they're not just all the new federal taxes and taxes on healthcare savings accounts and everything else, but they make the states come up with money for Medicare and Medicaid. They make them contribute to it. Completely unconstitutional. Now, I told you how 3 months ago I was in an airport. I already knew this. I already read it other places. But there was the head of the healthcare insurance lobby saying, hey, we wrote this bill, and if you put a public option in it, which I'm not for, by the way, because it'll always get stolen. It's wrong to take people's money for somebody else. It's wrong for the government to make you buy something. But it's even worse than stealing money to help people, because they're not even doing it for that. Of course they're not. Did the Soviets steal people's money and labor to help them? Did Hitler, the National Socialist, do it? Did Mao Zedong? No, 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 no. That's the point. You're always going to get cheated. But there they were saying, if you do try to actually cover people with pre-existing conditions, we're pulling out. We're for this if it makes people come buy our goods, if it makes them buy our service and lets us lower quality. And that's why in the last week and a half, all the major insurance, health insurance company stocks are up, and it's been leading the stock market up in the last week and a half, and that was all over AP, Bloomberg, you name it. There's your evidence for all you stupid liberals who really believe the nanny state cares about you and the government loves you, and boy, you got the rich guys, you got the middle class, you know, you're going to get your free giveaway now because you want to be a lazy parasite. Or because you're so taxed and so regulated, you can't make ends meet because of big government destroying our economy and ruining the best healthcare in the world. Some people aren't lazy. They are being cheated. And the illegals are bankrupting. And I mean, it goes on and on. But a great article by Revolt of the Plebes. We've got it up on Infowars.com. The K Street Hustling of Obamacare. And it says, ooh, snap. Looks like we've been right all along. All the K Street money pumped into the House and Senate has been overwhelmingly one-sided in favor of Obama's horrendous new health care legislation. Go figure. According to a new study released over the weekend by the Center for Public Policy, a nonpartisan public interest think tank in D.C., it is estimated that a record $120 million was spent lobbying for the health reform. In addition to direct lobbying, some of the top firms also rewarded members of Congress with campaign contributions through political action committees and individual lobbying donations. The largest of these firms, Patton Boggs LLP, contributed more than $55,000 almost exclusively to Democrats. Patton Boggs represents Bristol-Myers Squibb, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the nation and the eighth largest corporation in the United States. On January 21st, 2010, Patton Boggs was one of several big-name health insurance, pharmacological, and hospital lobbying organizations whose top executives got together to throw a fundraiser for Massachusetts senatorial candidate Martha Coakley in hopes of landing her the Democratic seat at the crucial 60th vote needed to pass the health care takeover bill. The other top firms that participated, along with a list of companies they represent, are as follows. And it goes on for page after page after page after page. And you can go also in a link here to the Center for Public Policy, and look, over 94% of all lobbying health care and insurance money, and the guy behind Obama more than anybody else, Berkshire Hathaway Insurance Company, Mogul, they are all there pushing this. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, you name it. The biggest fortunes are made by controlling government contracts.
Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right. Deep behind the propaganda lines, attempting to wake the people up, attempting to get the population to listen to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Paine and others' words, love your country, fear your government, or you will get tyranny. Now, for the rest of the hour, Dr. Frederick Whitehurst is our guest. I interviewed him several times more than a decade ago. He is one of the most famous whistleblowers in U.S. history, perhaps the most famous in the more modern times. He's America's first successful FBI whistleblower. Dr. Whitehurst forced the president to issue an executive order ensuring whistleblower protection of all FBI agents who exposed misconduct. His case exposed forensic fraud in the FBI crime lab and subjected it to outside oversight for the first time. He's the director of the Forensic Justice Project and pioneer whistleblower. Dr. Whitehurst now joins us and exposes FBI misconduct and forensic fraud. And all over the country, every major police department in Texas, Austin, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, have all been caught just framing people en masse. All over the newspaper, San Francisco a few weeks ago, I saw in the news, Tulia, Texas, literally filling the jail with half the town's black people, framing them. Here's a New York Times article, DNA evidence can be fabricated, scientists show. That was from a week ago. Folks, we knew this. We knew this years ago that they can fake your fingerprints. But I'm going to shut up now and go to Dr. Frederick Whitehurst for the balance of the hour to talk about, are things getting worse? Are they getting better? What's happening around the country? First, sir, just going right back to you, I've got so many questions. Just start wherever you wish.
Well, you were talking about are things getting worse or getting better, and I think they're getting a lot better. I think because we have instantaneous knowledge now. We're connected through the Internet, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And we can research on our own. From our living rooms, our bedrooms, our offices, even our cars. We can be at the beach and find out that, for instance, an article just came out while I was waiting for this show here. The Nebraska CSI chief has been found guilty of planting evidence. We know about those things now, and that's really healthy. When the government controls the knowledge base, then that becomes dangerous because their inferences may not be proper inferences. We, as a people, govern this nation. That's what our goal is. It may at times we vary from it. But, sir, I think that with instantaneous knowledge, then we all can take part in juries. We can all take part in who we elect. We can say, I'm not sure about this. About three weeks ago, I had a guy in North Carolina before the North Carolina Innocence Commission. His name's Dwayne Deaver. Told him. 18 years ago, during trial of this man who was before the commission, there were two tests that decided whether there was blood in the evidence, and one of them said yes, and the other one said no, and he only reported the yes. And it has shaken up this state to think that a man in our crime laboratory, a lowly state employee, can put a guy in jail forever. Just unilaterally decide, well, I'm not going to report the stuff that would hurt the prosecutor's case. We found that out instantaneously. This wasn't in some court 500 miles from here, whatever. It's all over the news, all over the place. And so I think it's really, things are getting better, a lot better, because, I could talk to you, and you're going out to a lot of audience. I'm in North Carolina. I think you're in Texas, aren't you, sir? And so,
absolutely.
So people's questions can be answered just by going to Google. And are we getting better? We're getting better at the lightning speed, in my opinion. Some of it's frightening because the paradigms that have been in place for so long, let's trust J. Edgar Hoover's agents. They're beyond investigation. They used to tell me when I was in the FBI, we're the investigators. Nobody will investigate us. Well, by golly, all of us, anybody, grade school kid can investigate any of these things and look at, don't just accept. So are we moving ahead? Excuse me. We're moving really fast ahead. Are we scared by what we're seeing right now? Yeah, but in the long run, it's going to be healthy.
Well, here's an example. I have the indictment and the affidavits for the head of the Mumbai terror attacks, and it's a U.S. government agent. I have NBC here with the FBI literally commanding and setting up and running the latest Muslim terror group that was going to bomb a synagogue. We have these groups infiltrating militias, and the leaders are the ones who are government informants or agents provocateuring this. And it's just case after case after case. And then I myself have had people who it turned out were feds try to set me up for things. And so I'm trying to understand from your perspective as the former head of the FBI crime lab forensics division, how did you awaken? How did you start seeing the corruption? Why did you speak up? What percentage, as a dead reckoning guesstimation, of police departments or FBI agents or their workers, what percentage, for whatever reason, just love framing people? Because we now know, because of DNA evidence and other issues, in some states, a third of the people or more are completely innocent. And we know that the biggest industry now in this nation is prisons. And there's this incentive to just build, 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 and put more people in prison. And as you said, the paradigm is shifting as the population begins to discover that something is rotten in the state of our republic.
I don't support law enforcement officers that go outside, that cross the thin blue line and tarnish their badge. I just don't. I understand from being inside what the pressures are. When we have an Oklahoma City go up and we see bodies of little children being dragged out, we call for revenge. That call for revenge directs our politicians, and that's what they are. They're politicians to move forward with an agenda that we will at all costs, da-da-da-da-da. Well, that vengeance drags at the foundation of our justice system. We want to know what happened. We want to know who really did it. Unfortunately, in any enterprise such as law enforcement, where somebody who gives the right answer to the right question at the right time gets the right job and there's no oversight, as a friend of mine and I were saying recently, we all know what floats to the top in a septic tank. And that, frankly, is what, without proper oversight, can float to the top in a law enforcement agency or a government agency. People that are willing to do whatever it takes without any moral compass go to the top. They control who then floats to the top with them. The problem you have in law enforcement is the kind of, in my opinion, let's take the FBI. The FBI is cram-packed full of very, very good people. And those that remain as law enforcement officers instead of managers and rear echelon folks, those people, they see what's going on, and they will respond. They respond either as you know, going to the media under the table, which I think is inappropriate. They respond by going forward through the system. For your listeners that don't know, right now there is a move to gut the Whistleblower Protection Act at with a bill. It's the Senate Bill 372 for the Senate right now.
And it was 15 or more other FBI agents tried to stop the exact hijackers and were ordered, you will not do that. And the guys that blocked them, their superiors, they got record cash bonuses, and the good FBI agents got demoted or run out.
And you know that, sir, because FBI agents who they tried to stop came out because they're that kind of people. You know, I knew doggone well I might catch a bullet when I was in the FBI for the stuff I was saying. I mean, it was terrifying for me and my family. And where would the bullet have come from? I don't know. But every one of those people said, I'll take a bullet. I'll lose my career. I'll lose my life's work. I may be put in a nut house. I may be arrested. I may be whatever. But that's not happening from field agents. That's not happening from FBI agents. It's happening from criminals who are loose in the FBI. And that is not the major percentage of them, but I can, in my experience, sir, most of those are top managers at the FBI that have managed through lack of a moral compass to move to the top and spread that kind of criminal activity where they want to. but they get stopped. If Senate Bill 372 goes through, there's FBI agents, I guarantee you, they'll find another way to stop that criminal activity. They just will. If they're not allowed to be protected as whistleblowers, then they'll just fall on their swords. They're that kind of people. So when you say, you know, law enforcement's run amok, I think what's happening is because of the information that we can get to now, when somebody does run amok, Tulia, Texas, for instance, whoever heard of that? You know, I lived in Texas one time, but I never heard of that place until, by golly, it was shown up that half the town had been put in jail by a bunch of crooked cops.
But I wanted to go back to the beginning. What happened at the FBI crime lab? Why were you forced to take that risk? As you said, there could have been a bullet with your name on it. Why did you go through all that hell to get the Whistleblower Protection Act through? And now they're coming back with SB 372 to try to reverse that.
Well, the day I walked through the door of the laboratory, which was, I think it was June the 16th, 1986, it was obvious to me it wasn't a forensic crime lab. It wasn't a analytical laboratory. It was a filthy pigsty. And there were no protocols. I saw some things in the lab that bothered me. We do in any organization. I'm sure people working with you or me would question some of our judgment. But I didn't signal scream my head off. I said, there's a system here to work this out. I took these issues over a period of 6-7 years up through the chain of command, step by step by step, and at every chain, at every point, somebody said to me, well, I know there's issues. However, it's not your cross to bear. Da-da. Okay, well, it is my cross to bear. Now, first of all, I'm an American citizen. You know, the way I say it is I am an American. Okay? That's important to me. Therefore, it is my cross to bear. But let's see what the management will do about it. They never would do anything about it. We were required by Executive Order 12674 to report fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption to the appropriate authority. The big word there is appropriate. If I tell you there's a problem here and you blow me off, you're no longer appropriate. I did that all the way up to and including the president's office. I mean, over to the White House. There was no appropriate authority within the U.S. Department of Justice in the executive branch at all to address the issues I brought forward. There was no appropriate authority. And so finally, through the U.S. Congress and the Inspector General's office, we took the issues to the American people. And by golly, the American people are the appropriate authority. If we don't like what's going on, we don't need to pick up arms. We have mechanisms. It's very costly to use those mechanisms. They will send you to the shrink, just like out of the old Soviet Union. Oh, well, he's a troubled man. They'll take you from your office in one place and put you in another. They'll harass your wife. They snide comments, give you bad performance appraisals. Well, it never happened to me, but it happened to a number of my colleagues. All of those kinds of things that say, wow, these people are not going to address the problem. They're going to try and shut it down. Well, you know, when the President of the United States has refused to require the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI to obey federal law, Federal Whistleblower Act. They just never obeyed it. They just, nah, well, it doesn't apply to us. That means those people consider themselves above the law, and in this country, no one is above the law. No one. Not even the president.
And we see this system everywhere, where 800-plus cities are sanctuary cities, where illegal aliens here in Austin can drunk drive and kill people and they get released, but citizens get the book thrown at them because politically the government wants more illegals here for whatever reason. I mean, that's just another example. Now, from your experience, what percentage of crime lab people thought somebody was guilty and so they planted the evidence, like with what happened with O.J. Simpson with the LAPD, and then I know it's not an exact number, versus what percentage were just sloppy and didn't care?
Well, you know, there's another percentage, sir, and that's the people who work very, very hard and really do care. What happens in the crime lab is they've got the data, and back when I was involved with this system, and I still am, but gradually we've come out of it, they're stuck with this issue. The issue is, well, the guy's probably guilty of something. If I report this stuff, I'm going to lose my job. So what's more important, my family or my oath of office and my nation? And that's a hard decision to make
It's just that with all these city crime labs, it comes out that they are just framing people in mass. And we'll talk about some of those cases as well. But I tend to agree with you that things are actually getting better. It just looks like things are worse because now we're lancing the wound. We're seeing the pus.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it'd be like if you're at a serial killer's back 40 and you dig up the 25 bodies, things aren't getting worse. You've actually stopped the serial killer. You've got him in custody now. It just looks like it's getting worse because you've now discovered the crime.
You got it. You know, they call them crime labs sometimes because the crime is in the lab. But, you know, the labs are frankly completely, absolutely overwhelmed, overworked. When you're, I just read an article during the break about San Francisco crime lab. They're doing 7,000 cases or, you know, each exam. There's no way you could do science that fast, period. And, you know, what's amazing to me is San Francisco is touts itself as one of the most progressive think tanks, if you will, in the country. I'm not sure about that because I'm from North Carolina, but that kind of thing that's going on in San Francisco has been happening for years, and we've brought it to the attention to those folks out there, and judges don't do anything about it, courts don't do anything about it, defense attorneys are overwhelmed, the lab's overwhelmed, and, well, okay, if what happens in crime labs happened in clinical laboratories, there'd be bodies all over the place. But there'd also be lawsuits. You know, these people have immunity from lawsuit. If a doctor carried out his business like crime labs carry on their business, he wouldn't be a doctor very long. So this state immunity that you've got in the crime labs, as well as no audit function, there's no outside audit function at all. You know, you'll be told the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors audits these labs. My goodness, they've been auditing these labs for years. Nothing's happened. That's just a good old boy network. So you've got a human enterprise that has no oversight at all, sir. None. And on top of that, the oversight system that's supposed to work, which is the court system, is completely overwhelmed. We want to arrest people all over this country for all kinds of things. We're successfully doing it, as you mentioned. We have the largest per capita prison population in the world. But there's just a point at which the system breaks, and it breaks pretty quickly under this kind of overload. The bad people in the system relieve the stress of the overload by just lying, by doing something very often called dry labbing. Dry labbing means you didn't even conduct the analysis. You simply took a chart out of a drawer and label it as if it came from the analysis and go on to the next case. You've got an overloaded system without any outside oversight. It's easy to institute that oversight, but the government doesn't allow it to happen. Our government, your listeners, do not allow the laboratories in the state of Texas to be audited by independent auditors. Executed because of a crime laboratory that has no oversight at all, but a doctor going into your throat to determine if you have a sore throat has a paperwork trail that he's very well aware could take away his license to practice. So we have a system out of control. Until the people decide, and this falls right back in the seat of your listeners, sir, until they decide this is not going to happen, I am not going to be threatened by this, let's just put it in place. Oh, it's going to cost some money. Here in North Carolina, we put daylilies in the middle of our highways. Down there in Texas, you put bluebonnets. Okay? Let's put a few less bluebonnets and let's get auditors, not crime laboratory people, auditors in to look at those labs. Well, is that going to happen? It's not going to happen unless the people that are in Texas and the United States decide enough is enough.
All right, Dr. Whitehurst, let's bring this down to the bottom line.
Yes.
Every major police department I've ever even randomly Googled has had big scandals with their crime labs, and that's with most states having almost no oversight. It's the same thing as the National Security Act of 47, where U.S. intelligence has almost no oversight, unlimited secret budgets, can do whatever they want. And, of course, the CIA had to admit in 96 with their inspector general that they were shipping in cocaine. Because if you give people that much power and allow them to run wild with no oversight, criminals are going to run to get into those positions of power because inside a government position, they can get away with murder where they couldn't get away with it as a private criminal. We know that high-functioning psychopaths gravitate towards government positions. We know that's the basic criminology. This is common sense. That's why 9 times out of 10, you get a tyranny, not a free society. Freedom is a precious jewel that Thomas Jefferson said, even if you defend it, you're probably going to lose it. And so we know that these crime labs, by and large, are a fraud. There's this crisis of confidence as we learn that there's all this fraud. And instead of crime labs now, they're moving to new quackery that makes lie detector tests that have been proven to be a fraud pale in significance. They have fake brain scanners. They have all these other systems that supposedly show if you're really guilty and have been proven to be frauds, quackery. We have all these fake informants lying about people, setting people up, being caught over and over again, lying for money. We have police and all these scandals admitting that they lied on the stand and that it's condoned. So there is this culture of corruption from the top going down throughout the system. And you say the people have to fix it. We know we have the biggest prison population in the world. It's ballooning everywhere. What do we do then if the system is just rotting from the head down and there's just so much corruption?
Well, you know, I might add to that, the safest place for a serial criminal in the United States is in a crime laboratory because he can get away with it again and again and again, and there's no oversight, and he's immune from prosecution. And you can count on your left hand the number of these folks that have been prosecuted. You know, if you put a man away for 18 years with a lie, then by golly, you ought to go take his place and finish out his term, and your retirement check ought to go into helping the country pay that man what he's owed. But what is the solution? We've got a society here where the solution is. It's at the polls. It's at, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. I'm 62 years old now, and I remember people became involved. We weren't attached to an iPhone and an iPod and a whatever computer screen. We got up and we saw what was going on around us, and we raised our voices. I'm not saying raise your gun. I do not believe in that kind of revolution. I was in Vietnam for 3 years, and I don't want that happening in my country. But we have the ability here. Nobody killed me yet. It's just, you know, in some countries, that'd be amazing. I'd have been dead 20 years ago. Nobody shot me. Now, they made life miserable for me and my family and people around me that supported what I was saying. But we weren't killed. You have the right to come forward and do something, to collect the data. One of the things Forensic Justice Project does, sir, is we're tracking all the victim defendants. I'm not saying defendants or victims. I'm saying victim defendants of the individuals that were pointed out in the investigation of the FBI crime lab. That's a really neat project. In most of our states, we have open records. Citizen groups can take the iPod out of their ear and petition the government for the names of every case that bad guys ever worked. And then go find those people, find out if they're in prison, if they've been executed, and we can do that, passing the information around all over the country, and we will launch and have launched an army doing that. When one man goes to jail, sir, he has a family and he has friends. And if they know he's innocent and they see the system do that to him, they do respond. They just don't throw their hands up.
And we've already won the first stage of the battle. We've gone from 20 years ago, the average person saying, no way the police ever frame anybody, to the population in polls know they frame whoever they want, whenever they want. And it's causing people to realize this is a fraud. A lot of innocent people are getting out of prison. When you talk to the average police officer or current FBI agent or other whistleblowers that you talk to, you know, the average cop on the beat, because I know you travel around the country and talk to folks, does the average cop realize how incredibly corrupt the system is, and do they defend it?
you know what? I think I was on the inside of the FBI and I saw the stuff. And I saw how sick people were at the things that were going on, from voucher fraud to time and attendance sheet fraud to you know, you go to court and there's a whole crew there and one of the guys is obviously lying, and you know that they're sick about it. They're sick about it. But, sir, you know, the structure we have right now forces those people, those good people, to decide between their family security or their oath of office. And that's a dilemma we shouldn't put in their hands. They should know that when they come forward with valid, documented proof that that guy who did what he did will not be protected by his what do you call him in the Bureau, his juice man, not be protected by his management structure, will be tried in a court of law as a criminal, a serial criminal, and sent to prison. No immunity. You lied under oath. You lied under oath. You're going away. You altered evidence. You're going away. There's a man I've been tracking since 1989. That's 21 years now, sir, and collecting information on. It's well known he lied in the trial of a federal judge. Well documented. It was documented 4 years after he did it. The FBI covered it up for 9 more years. They then admitted it, but said the issue was too stale. They wouldn't revisit it. The man retired before retirement. And 4 years, 5 years later, the FBI rehired him as a contract employee. And he's now involved in national security issues. So I'm tracking. I want to know everything about every day he ever spent in the FBI. And it's kind of fascinating. They're doing everything they can to stop us from it. I'm 62. I've probably got another 20 good years. I'm not.
So the answer is we have to pick a criminal and hound them and bring them to justice. And with the internet, we can. That's what I've always said.
Yes,
if a politician.
Sir, you don't need to hound them. As citizens, hounding is what you need is just to collect the data. Collect the data. And as a citizen group, it's a fascinating thing. Any bit of data, by the way, I've got, I'll give away to anybody.
Well, doctor, when I say hound, I mean a hound just keeps tracking and never stops.
Yes, sir.
What I mean by hounding. I don't
An
mean
old terrapin. You just go after them. You bite onto that. You do not denigrate. You do not slander. You just collect the data. And I've got 6,000-7,000 FBI files under Freedom of Information Act now. I've only processed about 1/5 of those. And the stuff that's coming out of those files is phenomenal. You need to remember why you're doing this. Just because one man lied in a trial does not make the defendant innocent or guilty. It means one man lied. And that defendant, a fellow citizen, no matter what he was accused of doing, deserves the right to a fair trial. This is America, sir. He deserves the right to a fair trial. And if the government won't give it to him, the elected government, the appointed government, then the government called the people, and we are the government of this country, can give it to him.
Absolutely. Let's shift gears for a moment. Here's the New York Times. DNA evidence can be fabricated, scientists show.
Yes,
they also admit that the police know how to take your prints, create a silicon copy, and plant them wherever they want.
Yes,
I've been warning the public about this for a decade. It's now becoming mainstream news. But we see the media now selling DNA as if it's 100%. They want a federal DNA database. They've been taking blood from babies for more than 30 years for a secret Pentagon database that's now been declassified. I see this as a new fraud where they can arrest you, take your blood, plant it, and then say, oh, we know you did it.
That's right. So, sir, it's not the science. It is the scientist that we must concern ourselves with.